Beastie Boys, at their website, beastieboys.com, now have a link for people to download a cappella versions of their songs, which gives fans the total freedom to do their own mixes of Beastie tunes.
Sweet.
Totally.
And I think certainly with the popularity of mashups on the rise, DJs, whether you're pro, amateur, or PC, can now take your creativity to new levels with actual support from the band.
A few years ago, the Beastie Boys were sued over using samples in their music. And this is what really spurred the Beastie Boys to want to make music available to the public, royalty-free, to allow people to do their own unique mixes to it, and then in the end, not be worried about a multi-million-dollar lawsuit for using copyrighted material. So I know a few years back they released a disc that was included with some kind of tech magazine that just had all kind of Beastie Boys music on it that was royalty-free that you can go home and remix. And that's essentially what they're doing with the website. They're really making a statement about, you know, using other people's, you know, songs, lyrics, music, whatever, in your own creations. You know, it's pretty original, pretty unique, and if you're into home mixing, go check it out.
Yeah, pretty far cry from the old days when License to Ill first dropped in the late 80s, and I know that Led Zeppelin weren't too happy to hear The Ocean, you know, the riff from their song on one of their cuts. And I come from somewhat of a musical background, and Steve has been in bands, and I've played drums throughout my life. Where I stand, I mean, I think it's kind of unique to hear samples used, and I love the idea of mashups. I think it's technically a very interesting kind of genre to hear songs that wouldn't normally go together and all that. So I kind of like the way that this is going, especially when you get a band's blessing like the Beastie Boys to do that sort of thing.
It's kind of weird, you know. I was kind of on the fence on the topic for a while because I know what it's like to, you know, really put your heart and soul into developing music and releasing an album. And the last thing you want is for somebody to, you know, get fame and notoriety from taking what you worked so hard for. But I think the point that really drove home was, you know, as many of you, I'm sure, recall, is when Metallica's Lars Ulrich came out and, you know, really started that stink with Napster, and it really turned off not only a lot of Metallica's fans, but a lot of the music purchasing community for a band to come out and just be so overly protective over their music. So I think the way things are going now and the move the Beastie Boys are making, it's a lot more appropriate. You know, I think it's a way to really get it out there and share it with your fan base and not have people cowering in fear that, you know, the RIAA is going to come kicking in your door because you're doing something illegal.
Stand by for mind control.
Right, yeah, it's an interesting alternative to the iTunes generation.
And speaking of iTunes, iTunes may have to increase their prices for downloads because they're actually in risk of losing labels. And right now, as many of you know, that you are using iTunes, every song they have available to download is only 99 cents. Well, I guess in an effort to keep some of the recording labels happy, they're going to be potentially increasing the charges in order to keep the labels that they have on board.
Holy Hollywood.
Microsoft has inked a deal with Universal and 20th Century Fox to make a feature film version of their ludicrously popular video game series, Halo. Now, it looks like Universal will be overseeing the film's production and domestic distribution, and Fox will be handling international distribution. And the release date is targeted for summer 2007. Why?
Because they're waiting to coincide the release of the movie with the latest version of Halo, Halo 3.
That is correct, sir.
Can we say Crux and Thieves? No, I mean, you know, I sound very spiteful. I can understand why they would want to do that. I understand that, you know, you want to have your market tie-ins when you do things like that. I mean, heck, you know, Star Wars with the market tie-in with the game there. Yeah, Star Wars Battlefront 2. You know, the demo is being bundled with the DVD release of Star Wars Episode 3, and the game also launches that same day. So, yeah, you know, you hear me talk a lot of bad things about Microsoft and the Xbox in particular, but I can certainly understand why they're making a move like that, and I understand it's in their best interest, so I do reluctantly respect that decision.
How many video game movies up to this point are really good?
Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, I forgot about that one. Oh, wait, Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter, yeah.
You're despicable.
Well, ironically, you know, the rumor mill has really been pretty persistent, saying that we should look forward to a new Mortal Kombat feature film. And I believe the Doom trailer for the feature film is available now online.
Yeah, that one doesn't look too bad, I have to say, even though, you know, it's another video game movie. For a darn fun video game, you have to hope.
Oh, and speaking of darn fun and Doom, yeah, I was hard-pressed to find a connection to that.
Dick boy!
I've been playing this interesting little game on my computer lately. Do you remember back in the day on the original Nintendo, a game called Duck Hunt?
Yeah, yeah, and you could get the little gun controller and just do like the old carnival style.
What this really creative individual did was he ported the game. It looks just like the original Nintendo version of Duck Hunt, but for the shooter, it's using the Doom interface. So you're holding a weapon instead of having to have a light gun like the way you used to have to play Duck Hunt back in the day. And you have all of the Doom weapons available. The shotgun, the double shotgun, you know, the chain gun. What a really, you know, interesting twist on a classic game. And I'll go ahead and put a download for that on the show notes. It's a good way to kill a few minutes and a few ducks while you're at it. It seems that the Chinese government has unveiled a new system to prevent individuals from playing online games for more than 3 consecutive hours. And the kicker to that news, if that isn't really like heart-stopping enough, is that this new system must, without a choice, must be installed in every online game in the entire country of China.
How revolting.
And essentially, you know, they're doing this as a way to, you know, stop individuals from playing games for more than 3 hours. You might ask, well, what happens if I decide to play for more than 3 hours? Well, let me give you an example. Say you're playing World of Warcraft. What's going to happen is your character's abilities will drop by 50%. You won't be as strong. You won't have the stamina. You may even lose some of your weapons. Treasure is going to become more difficult to find. So if you keep playing, and God forbid you actually hit the 5-hour mark, your attributes in that game will drop to 0, which is essentially going to force you to stop playing the game.
Is this an answer to that story that we reported on a couple weeks ago where the Korean man played like 50 hours straight and literally died right after he finished?
If you look at Korea's relationship with China, I think it's very closely tied together. I think China acknowledges that there are some negative ramifications from playing these massive multiplayer online games for long periods of time. It almost becomes a way of life for you. This software is really incredible because a lot of people out there are saying, well, okay, so I hit the 3-hour mark, I'm just going to shut my computer off and reboot the game. Well, the Chinese government essentially says, ha! Because there's like a 5-hour wait period once you stop playing the game before you can reboot that game. So, I mean, they're really, really, really forcing it to the point where, you know, you're only going to get to play like 6 hours a day, you know, while you're awake. You play for 3 hours, have a 5-hour downtime, and then play for another 3 hours.
So I'm envisioning now, like, the handful of geeks who are going to try and beat the system will just drink a case of balls, you know, B-A-W-L-S, that energy drink, and just try and just wait it out.
Potentially. You know, we'll have to keep an eye on this and see how this goes. China is expecting to put this in not only the massive multiplayer games, but also casual games, starting as early as, you know, late 2005 or in early 2006. I can only hope that this technology doesn't breach over to the U.S.
I love video games, but, you know, 15, 20 minutes, maybe an hour tops, I'm done. I want to get away. I want to stand up. I want to do something else. That's just me.
Oh, me too. Me too. You know, it's kind of ironic you brought that up because I had a conversation with a friend earlier where I'm at the point now with real life stuff going on where I don't think I've turned my PS2 on in well over a month.
And I'm certainly not the type to play it for hours, leave it on, go to work, come back 8 hours later, and still have it on the same level on pause and have it burned into the screen.
Well, if you search the internet, you know, you hear about people who just, you know, stop going to work to play these games. People whose relationships with their significant others have dissolved because the game has become more important than anything else.
Oh God, here we go again. Dork alert!
Say, Kyle and I are playing online, and Kyle beats me up and takes my +3 sword, people have gone over to other people's houses, live and in person, knocked on the door and say, oh, you're the guy who took my sword, and then beat the crap out of them.
Whoa, that'll leave a mark.
You know, over a video game. It's really get out of control, but you have to have the balance. And again, this is something I hope the U.S. doesn't introduce. I understand the need to not create internet junkies. It's, you know, practically a psychological disease in today's society. But this extent of government control is really disturbing.
Yeah, and I don't know where a good middle ground is. I mean, it seems like there are no clear-cut answers for that other than, guys, get a life.
Hey, guys, we really appreciate you downloading the show.
We do our best to keep you informed and entertained on a weekly basis. However, real-life obligations do creep up from time to time. Kyle is currently packing and getting ready to move to Los Angeles, and Steve has deadlines for some upcoming anime articles. So fair warning, the next few episodes of the Big Bald Broadcast will not be posted on their regular schedule. We apologize for the delay and appreciate your understanding and support. In the meantime, spread the Triple B Podcast love to all your friends and stay subscribed. And now, back to the show!
Blu-ray, as much as I've been touting it and as much as I've been looking forward to it, could actually be one of the scariest things ever to reach our shores.
Now, yeah, for those who don't know, Blu-ray is one of the proposed next-generation DVD formats, and another one currently in development, and there are, you know, constant talks between the two. There's HD DVD, and movie studios are backing both of these technologies, but eventually, hopefully, one will win the higher ground. It looks like Blu-ray is at this point.
Well, let me start with on that topic that you just introduced. One of the biggest factors that has hit the Blu-ray versus HD DVD format wars is the fact that Blu-ray is going to be included in the drive system for the upcoming PlayStation 3 console. And since that announcement has been verified, there have actually been some movie studios who have backed off the HD DVD wagon. Some studios that have promised content releases by the end of this year have reneged on that agreement and have said, well, maybe we'll start releasing some titles sometime in 2006. And they've really wiped their 2005 slate clean. And even some studios who promised, you know, 16 to 20 titles have scaled that back to 10 to 12 titles.
There's probably an out on their contract because you're talking about new technology, and it could go anywhere. It could go the way of Betamax, or it could be the next whatever format.
Well, because of that concern, a lot of the studios are really keeping their fingers crossed that the HD DVD camp and the Blu-ray camp will come together and come up with one format that everybody can agree on. And as it stands right now, it looks like it's going to be Blu-ray. But here's where things get pretty creepy.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
There's two different copyright programs that are going to be incorporated into Blu-ray. If any of you techno geeks out there know what this means, one of them is AACS. AACS is capable of, like, really nasty tricks. One of the most frightening things that has come out of these talks so far is that when you buy your Blu-ray player, not your Sony PlayStation 3, but when you buy the actual standalone player, you have to have the internet hooked up into this device. And in essence, they're going to be monitoring what you're playing. And if you have an illegal copy of a disc and you put it into your player, they can detect that online. And they can shut off your player's ability to play that disc. And if you say, okay, well, I'm not going to download these games, but maybe I'll import them from another country, they can totally block that title from your player.
Oh, no.
But say you're a repeat offender, and you're constantly trying to find ways to either hack the chips or to play illegal content on the player, they have the ability to totally lock down your player, which will essentially give you a $1,000 paperweight.
Who's to say they're not going to stop the FBI, you know, from showing up at your door, too?
Exactly. You know, and it's a really creepy prospect because, first and foremost, they're going to know what you're watching, when you're watching it, and for how long you're watching it, because all of these new discs are going to have these data encryption keys on it, which is going to make it, you know, able to play on your player. And each key for each title is unique. So if you're set up online, again, you know, they can monitor what movies you're watching, how long you're watching them, what areas of content you're accessing. And then again, you know, if you try to play burned copies or whatnot, illegal copies on your player, they can shut your player down.
You know what? It's disturbing just on the innocent level for people who don't download BitTorrent or don't play pirated copies. Just average Joe consumer who paid the legitimate fee and bought an official copy somewhere. You know, it's kind of akin to why I'm a little skittish when it comes to DVRs and TiVo and all that, because they're monitoring what you're recording, too. They're keeping track of your viewing habits, and it's like, maybe I don't want them to know what I like watching.
Yeah, I mean, this is really huge catch-22. I mean, here is the technology, this really new, groundbreaking technology. And just to remind you all of, you know, just how great this technology is, you're talking about, you know, 50-gig discs compared to 9.2 gig on a disc.
Right, the dual layer, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're talking about, you know, having 5 times more content per disc. You're talking about the potential of putting, you know, all 6 Star Wars movies on one Blu-ray disc without any quality loss, you know, still in, you know, pristine digital format with the 5.1 surround sound. It's really incredible. And I think about the applications for game development, rendering textures and additional content. It's really mind-blowing. So it's something a lot of people are really going to latch onto really quickly, especially with the promise that they'll be backwards compatible, where you can still watch your DVDs on the Blu-ray players. And I think what makes it scarier is we're not talking about government agencies. You're talking about private agencies, agencies in the private sector that are monitoring your every move. And, you know, if you thought it was bad enough going into a grocery store and having your sales tracked, not only are these players able to, again, you know, track what discs you're watching so that they can monitor sales, but if they feel that, you know, maybe you shouldn't be watching that particular title for whatever reason, they can block that title from your player.
Yeah, and this opens up a whole new way for marketers to get at you, because for every way that we've come up with to combat, like, online advertising, pop-up blockers, they still find ways to get pop-up ads to show up, and they will continue. I mean, they're using data from the TiVos and the DVRs, and of course, you know, there's going to be some marketing crossover there with Blu-ray, and certainly its security functions.
Okay, you know, we're talking a lot about burning content and playing it. What if you actually open up your player and try to tamper with the chip? And, you know, if you found a way to put a new chip in there, kind of similar to what people were doing with, like, pre-black box days with cables, if you can go in and modify it with a chip to play legal content, they can go in and restrict access to everybody who owns that particular make and model of that player. So again, you know, it goes back to what you were just saying, Kyle, where you can be a totally innocent consumer, but if you happen to have the make and model of a console that's been compromised, they may be able to stop you, a legitimate person, from viewing content on your player just because that serial number, that model number, has been compromised.
And that just creates a huge PR nightmare right there.
I mean, I don't know if this is going to lead to giant class action lawsuits or whatnot. Again, it is difficult to find that balance. I know Hollywood and the recording industry have been losing a lot of money because of copyright infringements, but to me, this just really seems like the extreme.
All right, so honestly, these are big hotspot issues, and we want to know what you have to say about them. So luckily, we have several ways to get your feedback to us. First of all, there's email, thebigballbroadcast@gmail.com. You can even record your thoughts on MP3 and just Gmail it to us, and we'll probably play it on their show. Also, our listener line, 818-574-3607. That's 818-574-3607. Come on, take out your cell phone, add a contact. Come on, you know you want to call it. And yeah, by the way, just to reiterate, we are taking your entries for a Big Ball Broadcast theme song. 10 seconds or less, the winner will get used, basically. You could go directly to our direct blogger page at www.bigballbroadcast.blogspot.com, or better yet, search and subscribe with iTunes.
And I want to thank you all real quickly, you know, from the bottom of my heart, for making this a relatively popular podcast. We've been experiencing, you know, a couple thousand subscriptions a month, you know. Really, really great, you know. Thousands and thousands of hits a day, hundreds of hits a day, but thousands of subscriptions a month. So again, thank you all for tuning in. Kyle and I appreciate it because it's a reason to keep on keeping on.
Yeah, and I know what it's like when people tell you, oh, please post feedback, and then you don't. I mean, Steve and I are both guilty of just being lurkers on websites and forums, and I understand that if you're that way too. But if you like the show, tell someone about it and tell them where to find it. You know, that's the best kind of advertising of all, just word of mouth. So if you like it, tell someone about it. If you don't, tell us about it so we can change it and make you like it. So next week's show, we'll have some footage from Anime Fest, once again in Dallas, Texas. So until next time, this is Kyle Hebert.
And this is Otherworld Steve.
See ya!
The Big Ball Broadcast is recorded in Texas and Massachusetts simultaneously via that lovely little voice chat program called Skype.